Yeah. All right, we're going to get started here. Everybody have their food, I hope. Shut the door over here. Bob, would you find us someone to open up in prayer?
Don't look away.
Don't look away.
Don't look away.
My mouth is full.
What?
Lord, we thank you for this morning.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for bringing us out here this morning. To draw closer to you, to learn your word, Lord. And we just pray for Pastor Don as he shares this word for us. And may we meditate on it today, Lord. And we just thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right.
Thank you, Elma. We absolve you of your sin of being late.
Everybody give Elma a hand for
all
breakfast.
Right.
Thank you, Elma.
All right, well, we can get started, I guess. Elma, is there anything else you'd like to say? You just want to eat? Okay, you sit there and eat. Be quiet. All right, we're going to start off with a little video here just to kind of set the table for what we're going to cover over the course of the next 4 weeks. There we go. All right, Ed, you want to bring up the first video? And Bob, you hit the lights there, please.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light.
All right, turn the light back on. Let there be light. Why do you think I showed this little video to start off this class on memorizing the Bible? All right, Bob, you got the microphone? You might as well stay on your feet because I'll just be calling out people. We're not waiting for a raising hands. We waste precious time there.
I'm ready.
All right, give it to Dolores.
Dolores.
Do you know what that movie was about?
No, I didn't see it.
Okay, let me explain real quick what the movie was about. It was a post-apocalyptic movie. And in the movie, all the Bibles had been destroyed except for one. And Denzel Washington had the only copy that had remained. And so the movie is about him taking this Bible to a location. All he knows is he's got to go west somewhere, and he's going to have to give the Bible to someone. And it's about his journey. And there's another guy who's looking for the Bible, and he's like an evil guy. He runs a town, and he knows the power of what the Scripture has to say. So this is the end of the movie where Denzel gets to the West Coast, and he meets these people. They're held up in Alcatraz, and that they're going to begin rebuilding the nation. But the Bible that he had now been taken by the evil guy. The only problem was it was in Braille. And Denzel, through a whole movie, you see him reading this Bible and talking about it. So he gets to the end here, and he no longer has the Bible with him. But now he begins to recite the Bible, and one guy begins to write it down. In other words, he memorized the entire Bible. It's a great movie. I mean, there's really a lot of good scenes in there that speak to us as Christians as to the importance of knowing God's Word. And here we have him at the end. I wish we all could memorize the entire Bible. But you see, all throughout the movie, he's reading it, and he's talking to other people. So why do you think I showed this particular clip with that background?
I would say that God created everything, and
you have God, you have everything. You have your foundation.
Well, that's true. And he begins in Genesis. Well, the whole thing is, you know, if the movie's point is, if you're going to rebuild the society, it's important to know what God's Word has to say. And we've been called, what, to disciple the nations, haven't we? And that includes teaching the Word. But one of the problems is that most Christians don't know the Word, or we haven't memorized it. It's a discipline that most of us have lost. Psalm 119, verse 11 says this, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So the psalmist knows the importance of knowing God's Word. Now, you know, in those days, they weren't like us. They were walking around with an iPhone or a tablet, or they didn't have access to a computer. They probably didn't have 15 Bibles in their house like most of us do. And so it was a culture that was more based upon when they heard something, they had to remember, they had to recite it. They did have the written Word in those days. They wrote these things down, but it wasn't easy to duplicate. So memorization was very, very important to these various cultures. Unfortunately, a lot of us, we don't know how to memorize, and it's very important to memorize God's Word. This is just one scripture. He says, I've laid up your Word in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. Why do you want to memorize? Well, what we find ourselves in many situations, don't we, where we're being tempted and there's a spiritual battle going on, or somebody may have a scripture, have a question, and we really don't have the ammunition, right? We can't leap through the Bible. We might not have it there. So a lot of people have asked me to share this class on how to memorize the Bible. Not all of the Bible, but very important parts that you like. So over the course of the next 3 weeks, including today, I'm going to give you some ways to do that. You'll be amazed at how you can do it. Where's Carmen at? Carmen and Sandy Walls, they had the secondary class, and you know, we'd go in there and we're teaching the kids how to memorize the Bible. And, you know, it's kind of laborious to repeat it over and over and over again, isn't it? But with some of the techniques that I'm going to show you, not only you'll be able to memorize almost anything if you set your mind to it. It'll take a little bit of work, but not as hard as you think. But if there's anything that we should memorize, it's what? God's Word. You ever flick on the oldie station driving around? Michelle? Okay, see, the rest of these people, are, you know, they're too holy. They don't do that. Okay? When that oldie station's come on, how many of those songs do you know? You know almost every one of them, don't you? You sing along with them, you know, and that's, you know, and it's amazing how much your mind can retain. But we're lazy, whether it comes to academics or whether it comes to studying God's Word, and we don't want to take the time really to memorize it. So we're going to show you how to do it. All right? All right, quick memorization test. Elma, you ready? You had to be late this morning. All right.
Help me, Bob. I am. I'm bringing you the microphone.
Yeah, Ten Commandments. Recite them for us.
Oh,
now, wait a minute. Before she does it, you would think that as a Christian, we should know the Ten Commandments, right? Wouldn't that be a good place to start?
I teach my junior youth these.
Okay, you're a teacher in junior youth. I'm sure you've taught them. I've seen them up on your wall there.
Yeah, let's right? see if I can remember them.
Okay, come on. Somebody keep score for. By the way, I gave this test to Renee down in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
She got 7 out of 10. So.
Thou shalt not murder. They don't have to be in order, Fred.
No, we don't do them.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
2.
Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor. 3. I'm getting nervous on the spot. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Okay. Thou shalt have no other gods.
There you go. 4. Hey, this is an open book, okay? You can't cheat on this.
Keep your Sabbath.
All right, you got 5. I'm going to stop you there. Just
hold on, Pastor. Give me a chance.
Oh, okay, okay. Don't look at Fred. He already gave you 3 of them.
Thou shalt not. I already said thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal.
Yeah.
I already said the idol ones. Thou shalt not have no other gods. And then there's have no other idols.
Honor thy mother and
father. Here, Alma.
All right, Alma, Alma.
Quit while you're there. Good job.
Alma, you need this class. All right. Yeah, well, let's see who else I'm going to put up. Matthew Stafford, stand up. Books of the Bible, son. Starting at Genesis.
No, I'm not going to even try to attempt that.
How about the New Testament? How about the four Gospels?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Oh, very good. Give him a round of applause. Okay. Give it to Kyle. I know Kyle knows the books of the Bible, don't you? Come on, brother.
Kyle.
Kyle, New Testament.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Okay, I'm not doing them in order anymore. But Corinthians, first and second Corinthians.
Very good.
Ephesians, Galatians, Philippians, Jude, Revelation. What else is there? Thessalonians. Oh, first, second, and third John. Somebody said something over here. I don't remember. Timothy, Peter, Titus, James, Hebrews.
He's doing good.
What else is it? Is that it?
Nope. Okay. It's not it.
Oh, you missed one.
Say Philemon.
Okay. Philemon. Yeah. And that one.
Okay. Okay, pretty good. Very good. Very good. Now, today, when we want to find a book of the Bible, what do? We just, you know, go to our index and look. And that seems like it's very simple, or the Ten Commandments, very simple. Those are things that we had to memorize when we were kids, you know. And once again, is that something that's going to get you saved? No, but it's, once again, our discipline. It's something that we should be thinking of. We should know, okay, hey, I'm looking for 1 Corinthians. What book precedes that? Which book follows that? So when I'm done showing you how to do this, you'll be able to do them backwards. Anyways, I'll show you how to do it. Somebody could say, you know, is it just good for trivia? No, but it's good to know. You know, Bob, when you were in the military and they tore apart that weapon, you have to know every part of it?
Blindfolded.
And you had to do what? You had to assemble it, didn't you? What would happen if they said, soldier, what's this piece right here, and you didn't know?
I would usually get slapped upside the head.
Okay. And that was a weapon that that they used. Why was it so important for him to know what that weapon, every piece and how it came together?
Besides getting slapped in the head, you would have to repeat it. They'd tell you 10 times, 20, 50 times again.
Yeah. And so it was very important in the fleshly realm for military. How much more important to know God's word? And once again, are you going to be able to memorize the whole thing? No, but there are pieces. How about something, we go to the hospital all the time, and sometimes we don't have access to a Bible, And you're sitting down with someone, and something comes up, and how about the Romans Road? Would you be able to recite that and take them to certain scriptures and say, this is what the Bible says, and kind of lead them, and, you know. So there's a lot of different things that is good to put in memory, and as we see, the scriptures command us over and over. The kings of Israel were commanded not only to write out God's word and have a copy for themselves, but they were to meditate on it every single day, and they were to lay it in their heart. So they had to memorize it. The rabbis, if you were going to rabbinical school, you had to know this scripture. And we read all throughout the New Testament, don't we, of the Pharisees or the Sadducees. What were they always doing to Jesus? Questioning him about what? The scripture. You think Jesus pulled out a pocket Gideon and Bible and kind of, flicked through it? No. He was the one thousands years earlier gave those words, through the Spirit, inspired the writers. So we see these are just kind of simple things, but yet they're things that we should know. Okay? And there's a lot more important information that we should know than, the books of the Bible. Ten Commandments, would be a good place to start. Bob.
I love the story of when he was tempted by Satan. What did Satan do? He gave him the word, but just changed it just enough. Unless you truly know the word, you might not have caught that. And he still does that to us today. Plenty of people have got hung up and caught in that.
That's exactly right. Bob's stealing a bunch of my material. So
I'm sorry.
That's okay, Bob. That tells me you're memorizing something. So why memorize scripture? Well, we're commanded by God. So if God commands us to do something, don't we want to be obedient? You know, all of us as Christians, hey, you know, last year it was, you know, getting closer to God. The emphasis this year is knowing God. Well, how can you know God if you don't know His Word? You can't. Now, that doesn't mean you have to memorize everything, but you still have to get into His Word. You have to understand what He's like and what have you. Deuteronomy 11:18 says this, "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine," where? "In your heart." That's just a phrase. In other words, memorize it. Okay? "And in your soul. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." And so everything in the Jewish life was about having God's Word accessible to wherever you went. You remember the movie Ben-Hur? When he went into his house and he had a little cutout in the wall and, you know, he touched the thing. It was a scripture. And he touched it and he would touch his head and, you know. Or the Jews even today wear these little boxes hanging off the thing. They have scripture in there. Because it was to remind them of God's Word. Wherever they went, it was always to be forefront in their thinking. Proverbs 6:21-22, and I could give you hundreds of different scriptures. Bind them on your heart, what? Always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. We're constantly to be thinking about God's Word. And people say, you mean... Yeah, every aspect of life, we're to bring God's Word into it. Unfortunately, in many churches and many Christians, we leave the church. That's the only time that we actually think about God's Word. That's why I love going out evangelizing or speaking to people about what the Bible has to say. When I was down in Texas, Renee brought up a question that people that she works with happened to bring up. They were talking about whether or not homosexuality was right or wrong, and she was like all confused by it. And I said, well, you need to, you know, once again, what does God's law say? What does God's Word have to say? That's just one example. But it could be for anything and everything. You know, and I told this story last week, you know, when I was at my daughter's place of employment, and he brought me into the back, and he introduced me to this guy, and he was an atheist. He was the brother of the guy that owns the Park Athletic. And he goes, yeah, I'm an atheist, you know, I don't believe there's a God, and blah, blah, blah. I said, what do you do for a living? He goes, I'm a lawyer. Okay, you got them all written down here. Sign that. Somebody get a star out of there and put it on her head. And he told me he was a lawyer. Now, to me, right away, the first thing I says, well, can I ask you a question? That's when Lizzie comes running out of the... No, Dad, please don't. Dad, you know, because she's heard this spiel, you know, whether it was... It doesn't matter what they're going to tell me, what they do for life. I'm going to try to bring it back to what does the Bible say about it? Or how can you use that? So he says, I'm a lawyer. I says, well, you know, what's the basis of all law? And he stood there like a deer, the side of the road with the headlights. And he said, I don't know, you know. I says, wait a minute, you've spent how much money to become a lawyer? Now I'm teasing him. And the other two guys are sitting back there, they're listening. And I told him, I said, the basis of all law is a religious foundation. And I had explained to him what I meant by that. So, you know, that was just one way. But if you're going to share with people, if you're going to share your faith, it's good to know different things and to have some scriptures memorized. So he tells us there in Proverbs to bind them once again on our heart when we walk, when you lie down, and whatever you do, you should be thinking of God's Word. Remember the movie Fiddler on the Roof? Great movie, huh? Carmen, you never saw Fiddler on the Roof? All right, Carmen, you got to watch Fiddler on the Roof for next week. Fiddler on the Roof, there was a song in there, If I Were a Rich Man. You remember, If I Was a Rich Man, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, but the end of the song, he's singing a song about being a rich man. If he was rich, you got to watch this. He says, I could go and I could sit down with the scribes and talk about the Word of God. And he goes, I mean, he's just looking at him, he goes, and that would be the greatest blessing of all. And that's it. We have God's Word. I mean, His directions. And so the scribes in Jesus' day, you know, even ministers today, there's nothing more that should excite you than discussing God's holy Word. All right. Well, I memorize Scripture. Knowledge about God's Word is vital to all spheres of life. It's just not for salvation. I was driving through Texas, and I'm looking at, you know, all these stores and all these plants and everything else, and I'm saying, you know why? We have prospered the way we do this because we have a biblical worldview that started many, many, many years ago in, you know, in the biblical times, and then it proceeded to move to Europe. And we see science, and we see mathematics, and we see all these disciplines developing because of the view of God, which was taken from where? The Scriptures. Why didn't science develop in China or India? It got to a certain extent, and then it stopped because of their view of life or their view of their gods. Okay? So it's very important. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay? Everything, every good work, the Scripture is there. It's our instruction booklet. Okay? All right, let's go on. Continue on. Knowledge about God's Word is vital to all spheres of life. It gives us what? Knowledge about God. I mean, that's why we have these classes, isn't it? And this whole year, Pastor John and the men and women that are going to be ministering, the whole theme is going to be, how can we know God? Knowing God more and more. People will give you all sorts of opinion. We have our Bible release class. Kids will tell us everything. I think God this. I believe God that. The guy that I met at the sports store, he kept saying this. Well, I believe this. And I believe that. I go, boy, you sure got a whole lot of believing. And I said, you're supposed to be an atheist and agnostic, huh? And all the guys, they started kind of laughing because they knew the point I was trying to make. I thought you atheist and agnostic only go by fact. But here you are. I believe this. I believe that. So we got to know about God. And people will wax on, you know, all you got to do is watch some of the TV programs and see what they think about God. Gives us knowledge of His ways. How are we going to know what God's ways are like unless He reveals His ways to us? Right? You know, there's a lot of religions, they say you can't know God and therefore you can't know His ways. You just kind of roll with, you know, whatever life throws at you. Knowledge about us. How do we know what we are, who we are? This is probably one that is so important today because we see all... on TV, it's either evolutionary teaching or my favorite, the ancient alien theorist, all right? That we came from, you know, aliens and they seed planted the, you know. Hey, some of the most intelligent people in the world today, I mean, you wouldn't believe what they believe about where we came from, it's what man is. You know, evolution teaches you nothing more than a more evolved, what? Monkey, sapien, okay? That there was a long line of progression. The Bible's contrary to that because it teaches us we were created in the image of this infinite God who's endowed with wisdom and thinks and creates. Which view do you like? You know? And all the views have ramifications. There are things that come off this, which this is class not about, but it's just to kind of give you an understanding and background. Knowledge about where we came from. And where were you going? Where did we come from? Did we just come from the slime a billion years ago? And in a billion years, mankind maybe will kill itself, or the planets will dissolve, or the sun will blow up and consume the earth, and that's it? And everything in between that was just meaningless? Or is there a purpose to life? Are we going somewhere? Once again, this guy that was the lawyer atheist, I asked him, I said, what's the purpose of your life? He didn't know. I'm thinking to myself, God, you got to be 65 years old. You have no idea what your life is all about. What a sad fact. Bob, how many times we go into a hospital, you see people in there, and you just wonder, do they understand what their life was about? Did they accomplish what God set the purpose for their life to do? You know, Jesus said this, it is finished. You know, I finished the work that you had gave me. Can we say that when we finally reach point of death in Ireland?
Speaking about the hospitals, that's the saddest part. Nobody thinks about it till it's almost too late.
Yeah.
You don't think about what your life's about at the end. You think about what your life is going to be about at the beginning.
You're right. We don't want to go in there and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry. You know, you threw me a lifeline right there at the end. I made it in. Hallelujah. You know, we see the Apostle Paul who was fervent in his work. Because he realized that who he was working for. And the problem is so many Christians, you know, that we're very lax about what God has called us to do. Okay? Knowledge about our purpose on earth. You have a purpose here. It's not just to take up space, eat 3 square meals a day, and, you know, work for 40, 50 years and then die. There's a lot more to it than that. Now it's about leading others to Christ. You know how to lead someone else to Christ. You could have four or five scriptures, you know, and that could be sufficient. Because most people you're going to encounter, they don't know God's Word. Like I was saying, you know, do you know the Romans Road? That's a very popular, you know, seven or eight little scriptures that you use from the book of Romans. Scripture is constantly being attacked or misrepresented. So that's important that you know what God's Word says. God, all you got to do is, you can walk into the nearest Christian bookstore and find most of the books in there and scriptures that are taken out of place, out of context. And believe it or not, theologies and ideas about life are developed because of that erroneous look at the scriptures. Okay? This is Newsweek, the very first edition this year. I mean, they don't even wait. They're starting off the new year attacking. Okay? They're not waiting for the Christians to regather their forces, you know, and somehow get prepared. They are attacking right off the bat. Why would they have this as the very first cover of the Newsweek magazine for 2015? Is it just because maybe there's a demand out there for this kind of stuff? It says, the Bible, so misunderstood, it's a sin. I mean, that's true, isn't it? Do you think they mean it the way we think about it? No, because what they're trying to teach is that so many Christians misunderstand the Bible, and they interpret it wrong, and then they try to impose their ideas on society of what the Bible really says. An example would be abortion or homosexual marriage or what have you. You'd be amazed at how many Christians by hook, line, and sinker, the ideas that the world, they take a scripture or two, they twist it around. And as Bob said earlier, you know, we see, you know, Jesus himself combating Satan and having the scripture turned around. Biblical characters who use the scripture in some fashion, we'll end here. After we go over this, Jesus in the desert. Bob, see, you're prophetic. We all know the story, but Satan came to Jesus. You know, if you be the Son of God, what? Turn these stones into bread. And what did Jesus reply? It is what? It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, out of the book of Deuteronomy. So there was a spiritual battle going on. Jesus in a weakened state. He had been fasting, not eating anything. He was trying to discern his Father's will. He was going to begin his ministry, and he separated himself. And as he began to seek his Father, guess what? Here comes the enemy. Does that ever happen to us? Uh-huh. So if Jesus himself had to memorize and learn and use it as a weapon, how much more should we? Here you have the divine and the human combined. We're human. We have the Spirit of God living in us and bringing to our memory. But how much easier it is when we know where that ammunition is and we're ready for it. We're ready for the attack. You ever see these MMA fighters? And what they do is they hire guys that are going to simulate the guy that they're going up against. So if the guy was like a kickboxer predominantly, they hire a guy that's a kickboxer. If the guy was a wrestler, they hire a wrestler. The guy was a boxer, so they try to find men that can teach them these different skills and they can learn to defend themselves when they're attacked with these different skills. So we have to, just like Christ in the desert. He said, if you be the Son of God, go up onto the temple here, throw yourself down, for it is written. All of a sudden, Satan begins to quote Scripture. He will give his angels charge of thee, that you not dash your foot against a stone. So now you have Satan quoting Scripture. What did Jesus say again? It is what? Also written. And then finally, the third temptation was, you know, if you worship, you know, I give all these kingdoms of the world. If you fall down and worship me, I'll give them to you. And Jesus said, it is written, worship the Lord thy God. Only in him only shall you serve. So Jesus in the desert, Peter on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, 1 through 21. You remember that great sermon? Holy Spirit falls upon them. They're all up in the upper room. Peter comes out, and he begins to give them a message. And he begins to quote, and probably the most famous quotation is from the book of Joel, chapter 2. In the last days, saith the Lord, I pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your young men will dream dreams or have visions. Your old men dream dreams. Bob.
You made it. I love the point there. It was when the Spirit fell on Peter. If we read the story of Jesus in the desert, it says Jesus led by the Spirit into the desert. I think there's a key too.
That's exactly right. So you're going to face the temptation. You're going to be thrown into the battle. And unfortunately, many Christians are just annihilated, kind of hitting the beach like in Normandy there. They're running up the beach, no weapons, not knowing how to use the weapon. I like that movie, The Old Ghost in the Darkness. You remember that movie? They're hunting the two lions of Tsavo in Africa, the building the bridge.
How can you use the Holy Spirit if you don't know who He is, what He's here for, what He can do?
Yeah. You know, Benny Hinn, many of you know Benny Hinn. He was always on TV. He wrote a book. He became popular when he wrote a book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And then later on in his ministry, people just accepted whatever this guy had to say. And he started coming up with the most bizarre theology you could imagine. And most Christians were just, well, that's Benny Hinn, so it's got to be true. God's given him this revelation, and instead of judging it by God's Word. Man, we get into dangerous situations when we listen to a man or a woman and we don't check it out in the Scriptures. And that's why I love the book of Acts. Every day, it says to the Bereans that they checked out what Paul had to say according to the Scriptures. And it said they were more noble of character because they did that. But Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he quotes from Joel, and then he goes on, he quotes from one of the other books talking about salvation. So everything that they did, there was a quote. Once again, that was their society. That was their culture. They had to know it. I was reading something last night that to find a child, a woman, or a man in all of Israel at the time of Christ that didn't know the Scripture was unheard of. Because everything in education, everything in society, the whole culture was controlled by what the Word of God had to say.
Just now, as we're in our Thursday class, when they were reading the Word, who did they invite? Anyone that could understand. Period. If you were old enough to understand, you were old enough to understand the Word.
Very good. All right. And then Paul, in witnessing to the Gentiles, we see that he used the Scripture too. And so it's our weapon. And once again, if we don't know it, and over the course of the next 3 weeks, I will give you techniques to learn how to use the Scripture. Okay? And very simple things. As I said, your mind, you remember all these songs, you remember strange things, and we'll get into that, and that's really how you're going to remember a lot of things. Okay? So we can see the importance of memorizing the Scripture, how the apostles, Christ Himself used it. And if they used it, if it was good enough for them, we should at least learn a little bit of it. Right, Elma? All right. Give Elma the microphone. She's going to close us in prayer today.
Elma.
Elma.
Wake up, Elma.
Lord, we thank You for this morning, Lord. Thank You for all Your blessings, Lord. And we just pray that we can take this word and just put an effort on our part, Lord, to memorize Your verses, Lord, to just throughout the week to look in our Bible and try to memorize Your verses, Lord. And we just thank You for all things. Pray blessing over the worship today. May we be prepared to open our hearts to You, Lord. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, I've got one task for you guys for next week. You have to memorize every book of the New Testament. All right? Just try it. And now we're going to get a report on how it went and who thinks they can do it.
And you want it in order, too.
You could do it backwards, like, if you want.